So, thank you everyone for joining today's Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Krishnadhan Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam from 5th Canto, Chapter 5, Sloka 26 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association in this Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are really fortunate to hear from you today. Please take over, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, text number 26. Sarvani Madhishnataya Bhavadbhi Charani Bhutani Sutadhruvani Sambhavitavyani Pade Padevo Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation: My dear sons, we should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I am situated in them, we should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. Purport. Am I audible enough?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Purport. In this verse, word vivikta drukbihi, meaning without envy, is used. All living entities are the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature. As confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham, the Lord is situated in this universe as Garbhodakshai Vishnu and Shirodakshai Vishnu. He is also situated within every atom. According to the Vedic statement, Ishavasidam Sarvam, the Supreme Lord is situated everywhere, and wherever He is situated in His temple. We even offer respects to a temple from a distant place, and all living entities should similarly be offered respect. This is different from the theory of pantheism, which holds that everything is God, everything has a relationship with God, because God is situated everywhere. We should not make any particular distinction between the poor and the rich, like the foolish worshippers of Daridra Narayana. Narayan is present in the rich as well as the poor. One should not simply think Narayan is situated among the poor. He is everywhere. In an advanced devotee will offer respect to everyone, even to cats and dogs. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gabihastini sunichaiva swapakecha panditaha samadarshinaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and a gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. Bhagavad Gita 5.18. This samadarshanaha, equal vision, should not be mistaken to mean that the individual is the same as the Supreme Lord. They are always distinct. Every individual person is different from the Supreme Lord. It is a mistake to equate the individual living entity with the Supreme Lord under plea of vivikta druk. Sama Druk. the Lord is always in an exalted position, even though He agrees to live everywhere. Srila Madhvacharya, quoting Padma Puran, states, Vivikta drushti jivanam dhishnataya parameshwarasya bheda drushtihi. One who has clear vision and who is devoid of envy can see that the Supreme Lord is separate from all living entities, although He is situated in every living entity. Madhvacharya further quotes from Padma Purana. Upapadyet paratmanam jivebhyo yah pade pade bhedenaiva na chaitasmat priyo vishnostu kaschana. One who sees the living entity and Supreme Lord as always distinct is very dear to the Lord. Padma Purana also states, Yo haresh chaiva jivanam bhedavakta harehe priyah. One who preaches that the living entities are separate from the Supreme Lord is very dear to Lord Vishnu. Om adhyanatimirandasya jnananjanashalakaya chakshuronmilitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Namah om Vishnu padaya krishna preshthaya bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin iti namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, and I'd like to welcome all of you for Srimad Bhagavatam session today. And we are meeting after a long time. So before beginning today's class, my screen is visible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Okay.
So before beginning today's class, today His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu left all of us, and I just like to offer my sincere homage and obeisances unto the lotus feet of this divine soul who was instrument in the hands of Srila Prabhupada to spread His message all over the world. There is not a single person in ISKCON who is not aware of Pankajangri Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada Himself said once that these two divine brothers, there is no comparison for their devotion. A constant 50 years of non-stop service dedicated at one place is itself very laudable. And we see this photo that Prahlad Maharaj divinely embraced Narasimha Dev. Similarly, Pankajangri Prabhu, who was an eternal worshipper of Lord Narasimha Dev, he had such a staunch faith in Lord Narasimha Dev, is now today again back into the embrace of his divine worshipable Lord. He was such a great soul, but still so down to earth. 3 years ago, when we were there in Mayapur for our youth retreat, I just happened to take darshan of Lord Narasimha Dev, and Pankajangri Prabhu was there. And I just requested him, Prabhuji, today afternoon we are going for Rajapur Jagannath Temple darshan. Would you please accompany us and do some dham darshan to our students? Not knowing me, who I was, and not knowing how many boys are there, He immediately agreed. Yes, yes, yes. This time you come here, we will go together. Immediately agreed. Otherwise, you know, we would ask, who are you, from which temple you belong, how many boys are there, like that. Nothing. So he was so eager to talk about Jagannath Ji, to talk about Narasimha Dev, and so many pastimes he had. We cannot count on how many devotees he might have prayed for. Anywhere in the world, some problem used to occur to some of the devotees. The prayers used to go to him to offer to Lord Narasimha Dev. So he had prayed for many people. And certainly, he is into the divine embrace of the Lord. The pandemic is hitting hard, and the entire world will be now bereft of so many divine personalities, and especially ISKCON will be at a great loss. So offering my homage, my sincere pranams under the lotus feet of the Vaishnava, I beg for his mercy so that we can also follow in his footsteps and progress in the path of bhakti as desired by Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu ki Jai. And what we see, you know, today's verse is exactly personified by Pankajangri Prabhu. You know, respect all and see the divine presence of Lord in all living entities. So, and if you read the translation, Srila Prabhupada writes, one should not be envious. Basically, this chapter is very, very important. And if you read purports of Srila Prabhupada, they are also very striking and cutting. Rishabhdev is giving instructions to his sons. And these instructions act like, what we can say, the divine jewels, actually. So such wonderful instructions are there. And we should certainly emulate those instructions. So the Lord is personally speaking to his sons. So valuable instructions. So I have just chosen the topic, particular topic of being non-envious, because it's so very important, actually. So I have made a short presentation, and I'd like to share that with you, the deadly enemy of envy. So when we talk about these effects of envy, first of all, it creates disturbance in the mind of the person. Actually, there are elaborate workshops which I have conducted on this, but just to make brief points, especially related to today's verse I am talking. So the effects of envy, the first effect is disturbed mind. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, Indra stealing the horse of Prithu Maharaj. We had already discussed that maybe a year ago when we were discussing the 4th canto. So Indra became envious of Prithu that if he conducts 100 sacrifices, then he will occupy my post and he will be someone having position more than me. So he became envious and his mind was disturbed. And then he stole the horse from the sacrificial arena of King Prithu. So envy disturbs mind. Secondly, heart becomes fearful. We have the example of Dhritarashtra from Mahabharata. The very first verse of Bhagavad Gita is Dhritarashtra Uvacha. And if you read purport of this verse by Srila Prabhupada, then Prabhupada writes here, this is a question generated out of fear. Because no one will like to ask this question, you know, when the plate is there in front of you, ready to eat, and what the people eat, what the people do, this question is irrelevant. So the two armies are standing in front of them, and what did they do? Obviously, they'll fight. but he was fearful of the outcome because Dhritarashtra knew that his own sons were adharmika and the Pandavas were dharmika and the Kshetra is also dharmika, so they may get an advantage over my sons. And therefore he says, you know, Dhritarashtra vacha vaino dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyutsavah mamaka pandavaschaiva kima kuruvata sanjaya. So the fear in the heart is there when some person is envious, and the third is destruction. We know same Dhritarashtra's son Duryodhan, so envious he was. And we have this incident when Indraprastha was there, built by Pandavas with the help of Krishna. Vishwakarma helped them build Indraprastha, and that time Duryodhan also came there, happened to be there. So he was burning with envy, and therefore if you see, I have shown that this fire is because it burns actually. It's a burning fire of envy. So he was burning with that fire, and that fire actually caused the destruction of entire Kuru dynasty on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So these are the three deadliest effects of envy, and there are different levels at which envy acts. So the Sanskrit terms which are there, I have listed them in Devanagari only because I prefer that. So there are five levels of envy: avagya, upeksha, dvesh, ninda, and himsa. What is avagya? Avagya means to look someone down. So this is the first level of envy. I am superior and you start looking everyone below you, looking down at someone. And we have the example of Indra when he was sitting on Airavata and considering himself to be supreme. And when Brihaspati was there, Indra didn't even offer homage. And when Indra was on the throne sitting, he didn't offer obeisances to Devaguru Brihaspati. So this proves that whenever this is the very first level actually, not showing respect, that is a symptom of envy, because there is a superiority complex. And if you see today's verse, it talks about the same thing, respecting. So not respecting is avagya. Second is upeksha. Upeksha means what? A next level. You not only not respect the person, but you try to avoid that person. No? You justify yourself that the other person is bad and you neglect. Third is dvesh. Dvesh is a kind of, you know, what you can say, it's an active hate, active hatred. And you want something bad to happen to that person. Upeksha is you have just neglected that fellow and then there are no emotions. But dvesh means you start actively hitting that person and you wish bad for that person. Like we have well-wisher, you become the bad wisher for that fellow. The fourth level, ninda. You don't want to stop at your level, then you start speaking that bad to others. That is ninda. And the last level is himsa. You tend to destroy that person. And we have the example, beautiful example from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, Chitraketu and Kruta Dyuti. We all know King Chitraketu was not having any descendant, no progeny. So he performed. There is some background noise coming. Maybe someone can mute. With the blessings of saintly people, he was able to begot a son, Harsha Shoka, we know. And what happened then later? The king started giving attention to only one queen. She became his favorite. And what about the other queens? So they started hating. They became envious of Queen Krutadyuti to such an extent that they all poisoned this baby. That is the fifth level, Himsa. This verse comes in Shrimad Bhagavatam, sixth canto. Vidvesha nashta matayaha striyo daruna chetasaha garam dadhu kumaraya durmarsha nrupatim prati vidvesha nashta matayaha. Dvesha means envy, as we discussed just now. Nashta matayaha vidvesha. Dvesha is a plain word. Vidvesha, upasarga is added, means a greater level of envy. What did that envy do? Nashta matayaha. Their intelligence was destroyed by this special kind of, or the elevated kind of envy. Striyo, and all those striyas, all those wives of King Chitraketu, daruna chetasaha, they became hard-hearted. Garam means poison. Dadhu means administered. Kumaraya, that small baby. Now, even we feel compassion. We have some good feelings for those small babies, you know. We say, so cute baby and all that kind of stuff. So, to administer poison to a small baby, it means it really takes a hard heart, and which was hardened by this vidvesha, which has destroyed their intelligence. So therefore, envy is such, can go to such an extent. We see envy at individual level. We see envy in at familial level. We see envy at organizational levels. All those companies, they envy each other, and they advertise their product in such a way that they downgrade others. And there is envy at national levels also. So there are various deeper levels of this envy. So when we know the problem, we should analyze the problem and seek for the solution to that problem. Until there is envy in the heart, a person cannot love God. And we know Arjuna was able to hear Bhagavad Gita. Krishna specifically say this because you are non-envious. He speaks in the very first verse of 9th chapter. Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshamyanasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnyatva mokshase shubhat pravakshami anusuyave. Idam tu te guhyatamam. This is the topmost secret knowledge I am revealing to you. Pravakshami, I am speaking to you. Why? Anusuyave. Asuya, it's Sanskrit word again for envy. And anusuya means non-envious. So Krishna is saying that I am speaking this most confidential knowledge to you because you are non-envious. So being non-envious is so very important for a sadhaka. And then we talk about solution. What I should do so that I develop this quality of non-enviousness. So here we have this IPS solution for envy. In India, we have IPS, which stands for Indian Police Services. So IPS solution for envy. What is this IPS? So it stands for an acronym, Identification, Purification, and Satisfaction. And when we try to follow this IPS formula in our lives, we can, to some extent, observe a non-enviousness quality manifesting in us. So let us talk something more about these three, IPS. First of all, identification. Identification is, you know, is a pahichan, identification. Most of the problems we face are because of ignorance, not knowing who we are and what we are meant for. Most of the people, they identify themselves with things. In the material world, if you see, they identify with things. And so what is our real identity that we need to clearly understand? A solid foundation of spirituality is based on the Sambandha Jnana. You know, all the Vedas, there are only these three types of knowledge. Krishna Sambandha Bhakti Abhidaya Hai, Prema Prayojana Vede Tina Vastu Kai, Vede Tina Vastu Kai. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are three things in the Vedas. Krishna Sambandha, the relationship of a living entity with Krishna, who you are, who Krishna is, that is Sambandha. Krishna Sambandha Bhakti Abhideya Hai. Abhideya means, how do I revive that relationship? And Prema Prayojana, that Prem, love of Lord is the Prayojan, supreme, most destination. Panchama Purushartha, we call it. Prema Shiromani. So that is Abhideya. So Sambandha Gyan is the foundation of spiritual life. Identifying who I am and who the Supreme Lord is. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that there is Swatattva and there is Paratattva. Swatattva, it means my own identity. Who am I? And Paratattva means who is the supreme reality that is supreme reality, that is Paratattva. So Swatattva and Paratattva both needs to be very clear to us. So what is this Swatattva? Who we are. If you read Srila Prabhupada's purports again and again and again, many a times, he stresses this point. Living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. And he quotes this verse. I think this is the most quoted verse in his lectures also. Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavvanam jara tatha dehantara praptihi dhirastatra namuhyati. Dehinosmin yatha dehe, as in this body, the embodied soul, as a person goes through the stages, kaumar, yavan, and then age old, similarly, dehantara praptihi, when a person dies, dhirastatra namuhyati, at the time of death, he enters into another body, and since this is how the transmigration continues. So this proves through a common sense also that I am actually not a body. I am soul. Because when a person dies, we say the person has passed away. Everything is still there, but who has passed away is the soul. So that is Swatattva. And Bhagavad Gita clarifies up. This is just the beginning of the section, 2.13. So from 2.11 onwards till 2.30, there is an entire description of Swatattva, who we are. This is identification. And the Lord is also situated in the heart of a person, that is Paratattva. So if you see, I have mentioned here Paratattva. So again, Bhagavad Gita 13 chapter, if you see, Kshetradnyam chapi mam viddhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetradnyo jnanam yatta jnanam matam mama kshetradnyam chapi mam viddhi. Krishna says that know me. This body is called as Kshetra. And one who is knower of this is called as Kshetradnya. So Kshetradnyam chapi mam viddhi. Know me to be the Kshetradnya. Amongst all the sarva kshetreshu, amongst all the bodies, I am Kshetradnya. Kshetra Kshetradnayor Jnanam Yatta Jnanam Matam Mama. Krishna says this is Jnana. What is knowledge actually? Kshetra Kshetradnayor Jnanam. Knowing Kshetra and Kshetrajna, that is the actual knowledge. So it means knowing Swatattva and knowing Paratattva, that is the actual knowledge. So basically, Sambandha Gyan is the actual knowledge. And therefore, this 13th chapter is entitled as Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. So this is, as I mentioned, Lord is situated in the heart. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 15.15. Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvairahameva vedyo vedanta krutveda videva chaham. Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishto, I am situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hrudeshe arjuna tishtati. 18th chapter also Krishna reiterates the same point. So the Lord is situated in the heart, that is, we need to understand that as a paratattva. So, identification. Now, you might wonder, what is the correlation of envy I'm trying to make? So, first of all, identify who you are. I'm a soul, swatattva, and there is super soul or the supreme Lord, that is paratattva. So, the supreme Lord is situated in my heart. Similarly, the same supreme Lord is situated in mother's heart as well. And if you fail to recognize the presence of Lord in other living entities, then in Srimad Bhagavatam Kapila Dev, it's a very beautiful section, 29th chapter of 3rd canto, Kapila Dev's instruction to Mother Devahuti. What he says, Aham sarveshu bhuteshu bhutatma vastitah sada tamavadnyaya mammartya kurute archavidambanam. Aham sarva bhuteshu bhutatma avasthitah sada. I am situated in every living entity. Sarveshu bhuteshu. I am, Krishna is saying, Kapil Dev is an incarnation of Lord only. Aham sarveshu bhuteshu. I am. Sarveshu bhuteshu means all living entities. Bhutatma avasthitah sada. I am situated as super soul in all living entities. Tam avadnyaya. If someone does avagya. Avagya means what? Do you remember the first level of envy which we discussed? That was avagya. So avagya means not respecting that person. Tam avadnyaya. If someone does not offer respect to the other person, other people, and but he worships me. Mam. Martyaha kurute archa vidambanam. If he worships the deity form but disrespects others, that person is doing imitation. Srila Prabhupada writes vidambanam as imitation. His worship is imitation. It means the person is worshipping the deities but not respecting people, not respecting Vaishnavas. That person is like we have a jewelry, a golden jewelry, and we have imitation jewelry. Golden jewelry is so costly, right? Lakhs of rupees people spend to have that golden jewelry. Imitation jewelry also looks very similar to golden jewelry, but it's so cheap. And maybe one wash and the polish is gone, right? So, a golden devotee and an imitation devotee, like golden jewelry and imitation jewelry. So, what is a golden devotee? He worships the Lord and he worships the living entities as well. Basically, he respects every living entity, understanding the presence of Lord in them. And imitation devotee worships the deity but does not offer respect to anyone. Again, as I mentioned, there are so many things coming in my mind as well. Again, in the same canto ahead, Kapil Muni explains, Archayam eva haraye, shaddayam eha ihate, natad bhakte shucha anneshu, sabhaktah prakritah smritah, archayam eva haraye. Archa means deity, archa vigraha. Shaddayam ihate. He worships the deity with very full faith. Nata bhakteshu cha anyeshu sa bhaktah prakrit. But he doesn't offer respect to devotees. That is a prakrita bhakta, a neophyte devotee. No matter how much faith you have in the worship of the deities, but you, if you fail to offer respect to Vaishnavas, to people in general, then you are a neophyte devotee. That is being said in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, whatever others have obtained actually, forget about envy, you know. We need to start offer. So, what is the solution I'm talking about? Is first start seeing the presence of the Lord, that Paratattva, and start offering respects to everyone. And that is so very simple, you know. Amanina manadena. Not offering respects to oneself. It means I'm not a superior fellow. And offering respects to everyone. So this avagya will never happen. When we just offer respect to all living entities, understanding the Lord is present in them. Whenever we bow down to a person, actually we are going down to the Paramatma in that person, right? And whatever people have, might be some positions, possessions, and they're all because of Krishna's mercy, right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10.41, Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam sri madurji tamevava tattadeva avagachattvam mama tejomsha sambhavam. All the people, they might have got n number of things, something more than me. Someone is more strong, someone is more beautiful, someone is more rich, someone has more possessions. So, yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam, vibhuti mat, whatever aishwarya, whatever opulence you see, tatta devava gacchatvam mama tejo amsha sambhavam. Consider that to be my fragmented spark, Prabhupada writes. It's my spark. So actually, it's just Lord's spark. So if we start hating others, if we start envying others, actually that hatred and that envy is then towards Krishna. Because Krishna is situated in that person's heart, first of all. And secondly, by Krishna's mercy, he has got all that stuff. So when we hate someone, actually we are expressing our hatred towards Krishna, which is actually the root cause of coming here into the material world. Iccha dvesha samutthena dvandva mohena bharata. Because of that dvesh, we have come down in the material existence. So it's our responsibility, first of all, to give that up. Start seeing, perceiving the presence of Lord in our own hearts, in every living entity's hearts. Today's verse talks about not only living entities, movable and immovable things. Right? So the next, again, Kapil Muni mentions, Vishataha parakaye mam manino bhinna darshinaha bhuteshu baddha vairasya na manaha shanti murchati. Vishataha parakaye mam. Vishataha parakaye. Vishataha means one who is envious. Parakaye means others' bodies. One who is disrespecting and being envious of others' bodies. Mam manino. Wo mujhe manta hai. Bolte na, amanino manadena. Man. He offers respects to me, but he doesn't offer respects to others. He is bhinna darshinaha. Srila Prabhupada translates this bhinna darshina as a separatist. He is separating. I am situated in other living entities and I am also a person in the form of a deity. So this person separates actually. Bhinna darshina. Bhuteshu baddha vairasya. And when we have this vaira, enmity towards these living entities, na manaha shanti murchati. He will never be at peace. He will never be peaceful. Forget about mind control and all that. He will never be happy. Because when the mind is uncontrolled, mind is ashanta. Ashantasya kutaha sukham. Bhagavad Gita second chapter asks this question. Ashantasya kutaha sukham. When you are ashanta, non-peaceful, where is the question of happiness? So that person can never be happy. One who just offer respects to the Lord but fails to offer respect to living entities. So this is very crucial, actually. When we are advancing in the path of bhakti, Kapil Muni's instructions are so very clear that when we are advancing on the path of bhakti, we do offer respects to the Lord and the deity form, but we also need to offer equal respects to the Vaishnavas, because Lord himself says, right, that mad bhakta puja vedika, my devotees are more worshipable than me. For Lord, actually, the devotees are worshipable. Lord is running behind his devotees, you know, most of the times. Nirapeksham munim shantam nirvairam tamadarshanam anum prajamyam nityam puya yet kangritanu. This is 11th canto. Krishna talks to Uddhava. If there is a great devotee, nirapeksham, he doesn't have any expectations. Munim, he is a muni, thinker. Shantam, he is peaceful. Nirapeksham munim shantam nirvairam tamadarshanam nirvairam. He is not envious. There is no enmity towards others, but vairasya. And tamadarshanam. And he sees all equally based on the presence of Lord in everyone's heart. Anu vrajamyaham nityam. I runs behind him. For what reason? For what reason Lord runs behind that person? Anu vrajamyaham nityam. Puyayet. I want to purify myself and therefore I run behind my devotees. And how do you purify yourself? Angri renubihi. By taking the dust from the lotus feet of a devotee, I purify myself. This is Krishna says, Anuvrajamyaham nityam puyayet tengri renubihi. So the devotees of the Lord are so worshipable to the Lord himself. So how much we should be more respectful and worshipful towards them. And the same Lord whom we are trying to love is manifesting in this devotee, he is manifesting as Paramatma in all the people, as Srila Prabhupada has quoted in the purport to the today's verse, Andantarastachar Paramanu Chayantarastam. So we should try to cultivate that. Vivikta Dhruv, Prabhupada begins the purport with that word, you know, that clear and purified vision we should see, start seeing things like the Shastra Chakshuhu. And these are actually what we are saying, these verses. They are Shastra Chakshu offering us. Atmam sarva bhuteshu bhutatmanam krutalayam arhayedana manabhyam maitra bhinyena chakshusha. With this chakshu, as I was mentioning, abhinyena chakshusha, a non-separatist, like we saw in the previous verse, you know, what was that? Bhinna darshinaha. So the another word comes here, abhinna chakshusha. So not seeing something separate. So the same Lord is there, same Lord is manifested in the Paramatma feature. Atmam sarva bhuteshu bhutatmanam kritalayam. So therefore, what the Lord says, dan means charitable gifts, and at man, offering respects, maitri, being friendly, abhinnena chakshusha, not having the separatist mentality. Through this behavior, one should propitiate me, and who abide in all the creatures and the very self, sarva bhuteshu. I am seated in everyone's heart, and I am also situated in you. So you start seeing that in other living entities as well. So therefore, if we see the culture of Srimad Bhagavatam, what we are seeing over here is of respect. It was the same Vedic culture. Same things are expected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amanina manadena. You don't expect respect for yourself, but always ready to offer respect to others. And the whole moment is based on respect and culture, like the culture of respect. And this culture of respect, we need to really inculcate in us. It should go down deep into our veins, that we should always be ready to offer respect to anyone. we know a story from Mahabharata that when Draupadi, there is a big background behind, but I'll cut it short, that Draupadi wanted a flower and she requests Bhima, please go and bring the flower to me, a special kind of flower when they were in exile. And Bhima goes there, and on the way he finds a monkey. Now the monkey is there, and we know that Hanumanji was disguising as a monkey, and he had spread his tail on the pathway so that when Bhima comes, he will be obstructed by the tail. Now when Bhima, I always used to have this question in my mind, you know, Bhima was first friendly, and so Bhima could have just leaped, jumped on the tail, and then went ahead. And there the bargain began. There Bhima said, "No, hey monkey, please take out your tail out of my way." And the monkey says, "No." And then Bhima, with all his strength, applies and tries to make way by removing the tail, and he was unable to do. And then the monkey shows his real form as Hanumanji. And then this is the first meeting, Hanumanji and monkey. And actually, the same strength what Hanumanji had was there in Bhima as well. And then there was a relationship between them, a friendly talk. So actually, if you see, so much of respect was prevalent that he was not even ready to cross the tail of a monkey. Right? As we say, you know, we should not cross over the bodies of others. Why? Because Paramatma is sitting there. How can I cross over someone? Like we know, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu was lying down and Govinda wanted to go inside. He couldn't go. But you know, there was the culture, you know, one cannot cross over someone. That's the culture actually. And we should train next generation for this. Try to see culture. Respect everyone. One time, Srila Prabhupada was there in one of the Western countries, and wherein there was a program arranged, and the program was over. And we know Srila Prabhupada used to do everything, wind up and all that. So when the program ended and Srila Prabhupada was being wind up, and two, three boys came there and they said, "We will help you." Srila Prabhupada said, "Okay, please lift the chairs here." So they started kicking the chairs. Srila Prabhupada was amazed, "What are you doing?" And then he told them, "Why are you kicking? You should respectfully, you know, with hands, we should do that." So in our day-to-day lives also, so many times, you know, in bathroom, many people kick buckets, kick mugs, like that. So we should try to avoid that, you know? Because when we are disrespectful towards things, it will go in our blood and we will be disrespectful towards people as well. So when we try to develop this vision that obviously Srila Prabhupada says that things are not God, pantheism, otherwise we'll run in that direction. Things are not God, but things are energies of God, and therefore we should offer respect to things. Right? Now one very beautiful point. The verse which I quoted previously, Dvishatah parakaya mam manno bhinna darshinah bhuteshu baddha vairasya na manah shanti murchati. And this 5.18 verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport to this verse, Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva ashvapakecha panditaha samadarshinah. Vidya vinaya sampanne, the one who is pandit, who is endowed with all kinds of vidya and vinaya, good character and all knowledge, he will see with equal vision. Samadarshinah, he will see with equal vision what brahman, a brahmana, gavi, in the cow, hastini, in the elephant, shuni, in the dog, and shvapake, in the dog eater. So he will see all of them equally. Samadarshinah. And if you see wonderfully, here I have underlined these two words. This Bhagavatam verse, it talks about Bhinna Darshinaha. And this Gita verse is talking about Samadarshinaha. So Bhinna Darshinaha means a separatist vision. The Lord, that person is offering respects to Mam Manino, but Vishataha Parakaya. He is respecting me, but disrespecting others. That is Bhinna Darshinaha. And what is Samadarshinaha? He sees all equally. Whether it is a Brahmana, whether cow, elephant, or a dog, or a dog eater. Now, there might be a question that Samadarshinaha, does it mean that I also behave equally with all of them? Now when you want to drink milk, you will take milk of a cow, not that of a dog or that of an elephant, right? So somewhere, is it that I am not a Samadarshinaha? No. This equal vision we need to develop. So there are two things here. One is Samadarshi, another is Samavarti. Samadarshi means I see them equally and I offer respect. Samavarti is not mentioned here in this verse. So if you look at this verse closely, Samadarshi, it is not Samavarti. Samadarshi means he is able to see the divine presence of the Lord in all these entities and he is offering respect. But his vartan might not be same, right? If you see a tiger, do you say Vancha Kalpataru, how are you, and embrace the tiger? No. I show respect to the tiger by running away from the tiger and climbing the tree. So my vartan with tiger will be different and my vartan with human beings will be different, but my darshan will be same. The Lord is present here, the Lord is present here. So darshan is same. So we need to understand this very clearly. Samadarshi and Samavarti, they are two different aspects. So Samadarshan is being talked about here and not the Samavartan. So many people confuse here. So this is the first point I. The second point is solution for envy is P. IPS, if you remember, we're talking about P is purification. Purification of heart. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book in which he mentions all the demons in Krishna Leela. He has identified them with different anarthas in a sadhaka. And therein he has mentioned Kaliya represents envy. Now, how Krishna dealt with Kaliya? Krishna did not kill Kaliya, if you see. Krishna just punished Kaliya by dancing on his hooves, taking away all his energy. His venom was out, and then Krishna sent him away to a distant place other than Yamuna. So the Kaliya actually, what he did, he allowed Krishna to be danced on his hooves. So similarly, when we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Srila Prabhupada says that we are allowing Krishna to dance on our tongues. So when we chant this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are allowing Krishna to dance on our tongues and purify our heart. Anarthopashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshaje. By doing this bhakti yoga, what will happen is anartha upashamam sakshat. All these anarthas will be destroyed and lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. So one of the six anarthas, the greatest enemy of human being. So that will be destroyed when we just sincerely take shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord and allow his holy name to dance on our tongues. We will be purified of this anartha. So this is P. The next is S, which stands for satisfaction. envy generated when, like, you know, I mentioned that we see something superior in others and we become envious, you know, that person has this, I don't have that. But whatever I have, I'm grateful to Krishna for that and being satisfied with that. Sada santushta manasah sarva shivamaya dishah sharkarakantaka dibhyo yathopanat padha shivam. Beautifully, it is mentioned that if you are walking on a thorny path, then you will have problem, right? You cannot walk. But when you wear shoes, then you can walk very fast on the same thorns. They won't affect you now because you have worn the shoes. Similarly, this verse talks about sharkarakantakadibhyo yathapanutpadha shivam sadas santushta manasa sarva shivamaya dishah. So our mind, which is dissatisfied, it's like walking on the thorny road. So if we wear the shoe of satisfaction to the mind, then wherever you go, sarva shivamaya dishah, all the directions become auspicious. So when we wear the shoe of satisfaction, we can curb this envy to some extent. Except if someone has more, yes, Krishna is giving them more. I have more, okay, Krishna has mercy. So whatever is that, when we accept that, then actually we can be little peaceful. And therefore, in third canto, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, 3.15.19, the most important thing about the spiritual world is that there is no envy among the devotees there. What Prabhupada said, the most important thing about the spiritual world is that there is no envy. So this is the most important thing about the spiritual world. And if we want to go there, we also should try to develop this quality right here. The verse before talks about this. Paravatanya bhrtasarasa chakravaka dakyuha hamsa shukatit tiribarhinam yaha kolahalo viramate chiramatra muchai brunga dipe harikatham ivagaya mane. All these different, beautifully singing birds are described. Paravatanya bhrtasarasa chakravaka dakyuha hamsa shukatit tiribarhinam. All these beautifully singing birds are there in the spiritual world and they sing the glories of the Lord. But when Bhrunga starts singing, Bhora, a bee. Now we don't say bee singing, you know, we say bee buzzing. So when the bee starts buzzing, Rungadipe Harikatham Ivagaya Mane Kola Holo Viramate. All those beautifully singing birds, they shut their mouths and they all hear the singing of this bee. Because that bee is singing Harikatha. So they all shut down their voices. When this can happen, when there is no envy. Otherwise we know, you know, someone is singing and we sing. How can this person sing when I am there? I am such a senior person. I sing so beautifully. When we go and others have to come down and let my voice be heard by many. So this is what our attitude is. And we should curb that attitude. And again, one more purport from very first canto Srimad Bhagavatam. Because they, the sincere devotees, have the highest aim of life going back to Godhead, they are never envious of anyone. So if you keep this higher goal in your life, then you will be never envious. And Krishna is expecting us to be non-envious, dear devotees. That makes dear to Krishna. So from Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter 13th verse to 20th verse, Krishna lists the qualities what endears a devotee to him. What qualities makes devotee dear to Krishna, and the very first in the list is non-envious. Adveshta sarva bhutanam mitrah karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukha kshame santushta satatam yogi yatatma drudanishchayah मय्यर्पित मनो बुद्धि यो मद भक्त समे प्रिय दैट डिवोटी इज वेरी डियर टू मी यो मद भक्त समे प्रिय सो इफ वी ऑल्सो रियली वॉन्ट टू बिकम डियर टू कृष्णा वी शुड ट्राई टू फाइंड आउट वॉट मेक्स मी डियर टू कृष्णा एंड लेट मी डू दैट एंड दीज आर द क्वालिटीज कृष्णा हैज लिस्टेड भगवद गीता इज ओपन सो द फर्स्ट क्वालिटी एज इट्स हाईलाइटेड हियर इज अद्वेष्टा so we can very well develop this quality and seeing the presence of Lord in all the living entities and that is the verse for today actually seeing the presence of Lord in every living entity being non-envious then only we can start loving Krishna otherwise it is a imitation devotee not a gold devotee so We, if you want to really become a gold devotee, we need to follow this IPS formula which we discussed. I stands for identity. Who am I? What is my identity? I am part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Mami Vamsho, Jeeva Loke, Jeeva Bhuta Hasanatana. And who is Lord? The Swatattva and Paratattva. That is identity. That's what we discussed. And we saw a few verses from Kapila Muni's section wherein he is instructing Mother Devahuti that anyone who offers respects to me but fails to offer Baddha Vairana, offer respects to all living entities, he is actually not worshipping me. He is an imitation kind of fellow. And we discussed P, which stands for purification. purification by process of our sincere chanting and praying to the Lord and developing this equal vision through reading scriptures. And we discussed about the S, that is last, the satisfaction. Whatever I have, I am satisfied with what Lord has given me because I trust my Lord. He will give me, He will maintain me. Whatever I want, He will give me. So when we develop that faith in the Lord and not only that much faith, but we are satisfied with what we have, then actually we will be to some extent be able to cure this disease of envy and start offering respects to others and also simultaneously offering more respects to Krishna. So we end here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any comments?
Thank you so much for the very beautiful class. Yeah, the topic was really very helpful, talking about the very important aspect of envy. Yeah, and you very nicely you said that if only if we get out of this envy, we can we have entrance into the Krishna's world. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, is there anyone have any questions you can ask me?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. I do have a few questions. One is, can you remind me, what did you say the fifth level of envy is?
Himsa, killing.
Oh, okay.
And all right, and this is the example of wives of King Chitraketu poisoning the son of Krutadyuti and killing.
You said something and killing. What was the first thing?
Himsa. Himsa.
Oh, Himsa, yeah. Okay. Okay, and you also said, you know, this subject of, you know, if you are envious of someone, then you are being like hypocritical in worshiping the deity because, you know, the deity or Krishna is in that person also. So my problem is this, you know, Krishna is one person, the living entity is another person. And so even though I know Achintya Bheda, Bheda is there, since, you know, the Jiva and Krishna are distinct personalities, why is it that to hate a living entity is the same as hating Krishna? You know, because even though the living entity, even though Krishna is in the heart, he is still distinct from the living entity. So why does hating one mean hating the other?
Yeah, Krishna is present in the deity, and Krishna is also present in the heart of other people as Paramatma, as we discussed that. Krishna himself mentions that, you know, Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Rudisan Nivishta, I am situated in everyone's heart. Obviously, Supreme Lord Krishna and the Paramatma feature, they are to some extent different. But you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, when we talk about Brahma, Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagwan iti shabdate. The same tattva is called by Brahman by few people, by Paramatma by few people, and Bhagwan by few people. So it's the same tattva, right? So yeah. We call that tattva Bhagwan, the Supreme Person, but the same tattva here as Paramatma. He's also known as Paramatma. The same.
Yes.
Why same? Though it's a part and parcel. So the Paramatma is also so powerful, right? It's not that. So why we are offering the respects when we say pranam? So we are offering, actually the pranam goes to the Paramatma first, then to the Atma, and then to the body, actually. So the point is of respect. Why not respect? Forget about the living entity. We talked about respecting even the matter. If you listen to today's verse translation, you know, I will again share. See here, my dear sons, Rishabhdev is talking to his sons. You should not envy any living entity. Okay. Be he moving or non-moving. Now, non-moving, getting the point. Knowing that I am situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them, and when you should offer, at every moment. This way, you offer respect to me. That is what Rishabhdev is saying. So by offering respect to others, actually we are offering respect to Krishna. Because Rishabhdev himself says, he is none other than incarnation of the Lord. And we saw that pastime also of Srila Prabhupada, when some of the new boys, basically they were kicking the chairs, and Prabhupada corrected them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know that, you know, Bhagavan, Paramatma, Brahman, they're three aspects of the same person. But it's just because, you know, still those three aspects are one personality. Jiva is separate personality. That's why I was wondering.
Yeah. Jiva is also like part and parcel of the Lord, no? So he deserves the respect.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Jiva, being a part and parcel of the Lord, deserves the respect. Even that which is, what is not part and parcel of the Lord, tell me.
Nothing.
Nothing. Andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. And every atom, it's an energy of Krishna. So that deserves respect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Prabhu, that was... Yes.
Okay. Again, one addition. You may say, then why... How can we walk on earth? Earth is energy of Krishna. How can we step on earth then? Yes, we cannot step on earth, but we step and we beg forgiveness from the earth. Please forgive me for my duties. I am stepping on you, which I am not supposed to do. And then we walk. So this is a Vaishnava goes to that level. That is culture actually. And therefore, you know, whenever our legs are touched, somehow by accident, we touch our legs to someone, immediately we offer
our forgiveness
to that person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why it is so? Because the Lord is present, otherwise the body doesn't matter. Another Panchamahabhuta, they are touching. What is so great deal about it? My leg, which is made up of a Panchamahabhuta, touching someone else's body, which is another set of Panchamahabhuta. What is so great deal about it? The deal is of attitude. The Lord is there in that person's heart, and I should offer respect to that person. I should not allow lower part of my body to touch, because it's a sign of disrespect. And therefore, I bow down. Clear?
You said it's a sign of disrespect if you do what? I couldn't hear properly.
Which part you couldn't hear?
The last part you said is a sign of disrespect if you let something touch the person's body or something.
Yeah, so our leg, we won't allow lower parts of our body, it means leg, to touch someone else's body.
Okay.
That's a sign of disrespect.
Yeah.
No, therefore, we have these regulatory principles. Swami says, in the temple, one should not sit leg pointing towards Krishna deities, right?
Yeah.
So in the same, we should not point our legs towards devotees also.
Mm-hmm.
Rupa Goswami himself, that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So it is a sign of showing respect actually. And we can be more cultured in our behavior. And that's how we are showing respect to Krishna, and Krishna will be more pleased by our endeavors. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, actually, just one small question I had left. But thank you very much for that. Actually, you reminded me of one thing I heard earlier that, you know, just like if a parent is with his child, you will not just treat that child any kind of way because the parent is right there, you know. It's like disrespectful to the parent if you treat the child a particular way. So you're reminding me of that thing that I heard one time.
Mm.
Which is, but also, just one last small thing is, when you were making the contrast between Samadarshini and Samavartam, you know, this word Vartam, what's the translation for Vartam?
Vartam is behavior.
Okay.
Samadarshan is darshan means my vision, and vartan is my behavior.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry,
thank you, Prabhu.
I didn't mention there, but it's behavior. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna.
So, can we stop here? Something else?
Yes, Prabhuji, if there are no questions or comments, we can end here. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all Vaishnavas. Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Ananta Koti Vaishnavendra Ki Jai.
Ki Jai.
Prabhuji Ki Jai.
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 Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Hare Krishna.